Your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 4, the book of Matthew chapter 4. Again, I've got three series typically going. This morning I went back to my Bible Valley series on the Valley of Elah and the story of David and Goliath and the battle is the Lord's. And now I'm coming back to our New Testament series, which is the book of Matthew. It's amazing how the Lord has you right where you need to be. It's amazing how He does that. Only the Lord can do it, because as He laid the message this morning on my heart, I knew where I was going in the book of Matthew, and it's almost just a continuation, if you will, that we all have a giant in our life, and we have to give the battle to God. That was this morning, and tonight is following up to show you exactly how to do that. I mean, only God can do things like that. So we've come to Matthew chapter 4. Now, this is a repeat message, and I say that because I've preached this here on more than one occasion. But I'll be honest with you, this is one of those messages that I may pull out every year. I'm not sure if I'll do that or not, but I may pull it out every year because the thought that I'm bringing out tonight, many of you have already heard it, but it's one of those thoughts you need to be reminded of. It's also one of those thoughts that there may be folks who've never heard me preach on this, and you may hear something tonight that you've never heard. Now, that doesn't mean that it's new revelation. It just means maybe you've never looked at it this way before, and it'll change your life if you let it. Now, let's begin our reading in Matthew chapter 4. This is where we're at in the book of Matthew. We've just completed chapter 3. Look at chapter 4, verse number 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But He answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh Him up into the holy city, and setteth Him up on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto Him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto Him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh Him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth Him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto Him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship Me. Then saith Jesus unto Him, Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now, if you're in a habit of marking your Bible, there's two words I want you to mark in verse number 3. It's my title, my topic, my theme, and my text tonight. It's the two words, the tempter. The two words, the tempter. And I'm preaching to you tonight on that subject, the tempter. Let's pray together. Father, we love You tonight. Thank You for Your goodness to us. I pray that You forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for You to flow through. Lord, I understand the potential of this message. Lord, I know how You've used it in different areas of the country and even in this church in the past. But I'm calling upon You fresh and new tonight that You'll touch it and anoint it in a powerful way. I ask that You preach through me tonight. May I be a clean vessel. May it help us to do business with You, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, in the account before us is the story concerning the temptation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in my study many, many months ago now, as I was looking at this passage, the sweet Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And the one thing He began to show me in this passage is the one who was attacking our Lord. He's known here as the tempter. Now, we know the tempter here is the devil because he's identified in verse number 1 where it says to be tempted of the devil. Then verse number 5, the devil taketh him. And then verse number 8, again, the devil taketh him. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. So we understand that the tempter here is simply another title, if you will, another name of this person called the devil. Within the pages of Scripture, he has many names. He is called the devil. He is called the tempter. He is called the prince of the air. He is called the serpent and the father of lies, among many, many other things. Now, within the pages of Scripture, I'm telling you this night that the Lord is trying to show us something about the character of the tempter. Now, one of His many names is obviously on display for us here. It's that of the tempter. Now, in this message, it is my desire to expose him.
and then to enhance you for the cause of Jesus Christ. Now, there's three things I want to bring out tonight. By the way, before I get in, right here into the outline, 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Now, tonight, folks, I'm going to tell you something. I know how the devil works. And we all have a giant in the Valley of Elah. That's this morning. You wasn't here, go back and get it. You have to understand that the devil knows who your giant is too. Now, that being the case, I want to give you three things tonight about how you can live in victory over the tempter. Now, I'm not asking you tonight, are you battling? Because if you're breathing, you are battling. But are you winning the battle against the tempter? Now, this being the case, let me give you three things. Number one, notice the tempter's enticing. Now, this word enticing here means to tempt with hope of reward or pleasure. That's exactly how the devil tempts. He's not going to tempt you and say, hey, if you bite into this, it's going to kill you. He doesn't tempt like that. He entices people. He tries to put out something in front of them that he knows looks good, he knows smells good, and he knows they can't get over it. Those are the kind of things that he's going to entice you with. Now, that being the case, let me give you a couple of thoughts before I get to the main thoughts under this. May I tell you that there's two things the devil's trying to do to you, sir, and there's two things the devil's trying to do to you, ma'am. There's two things the devil's trying to do to you, teenager. There's two things the devil's trying to do to you, child. I'm telling you what those two things are. Number one, under this, he is out to shake you up. We see this in the book of Luke, chapter 22, verse number 31, where the Bible says where Jesus is speaking to Peter, and he said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." You know what that word sift means? It means to shake violently. It means he wants to rattle you loose. So understand this, folks, that if you have driven a stake a mile deep and you know you're saved and you know you're right with God and you know that you're trying to do something right and do something for the glory of God, wait a minute, the devil's going to try to shake you from those things. He's going to try to rattle you loose. He does not like you being firmly grounded in Jesus Christ. But he not only wants to shake you up, number two, he wants to swallow you down. We see this in 1 Peter 5:8, where the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." You know what that word devour means? It means to gulp up entirely. It means to swallow down. May I say something to you? The devil's not out to take a bite out of you. He's not out to hurt you. He's out to destroy your life. That's exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to shake you up in order to swallow you down. And the main tool he uses is the tool of enticing. Over in Australia, I think it's Australia, yes, in the Australian bush country, there grows a certain plant, and it's known as the sundew plant. Interesting thing about this sundew plant is it has a slender stem and tiny round leaves fringed with hairs that glisten with bright drops of delicate liquid substance. It's a beautiful plant to look at, but woe to the insect who gets enticed with those drops of dew, because they don't understand that those drops of dew are like glue substance. And what looks good to them, whenever they land on it, they become entrapped. And once they're stuck on it, they begin to try to get loose and get loose and get loose. And the vibration of their body trying to get loose sends a message to the plant, you have caught something. So the plant literally begins to enclose around this insect, and that plant feeds on the insect. Are you listening to me? The devil knows what plant to throw out in front of us. He knows what looks good, smells good, tastes good, everything else. He knows what you're dealing with, and he knows when to hit you when you least expect it, with bitterness, anger, wrath, worry, fear. I don't care what it is. He knows how to put the sundew plant in front of you. And I'm telling you, he knows what it takes to get you to look that way. Because if you look at it and you land on it, it will destroy your life. This is how he works. Now, I want to show you some things about the tempter tonight, and I'm telling you, I hope I'm passionate every time I open the Word of God. But I'm extra passionate tonight because he's after you, he's trying to destroy you, and I know how he does it. And I'm getting ready to show you how to stick it to him. Amen. I'm sick and tired of I'm talking about the devil getting our young people, and the devil getting our marriages, and the devil getting our men and our ladies. I'm tired of it. You ought to be tired of it too. And I'm telling you, the devil's after you. He can't stand you. He's enticing you. I'm going to show you some things about his enticing. First of all, it was a pointed enticing. You say, what are you talking about? Notice verses 2 and 3. And when he, Jesus, had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. Now, I just ate dinner at Mama's house. Glory, hallelujah. But I'm already and hungry. I'm saying I'm hungry. I mean, I can eat something right now. The Lord had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and the Bible says after that, he was hungry. Now, I want to show you something here. Where did the devil start his enticing? Notice what the Bible says. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Now stay with me here, because this is a powerful point. Get this, when I say it was a pointed enticing, here's what I mean. He attacked the Lord where the Lord was most vulnerable at this time. Now we understand the Lord is not weak in any stretch of the imagination. We understand that Jesus Christ is the God-man. He never sinned. But in his humanity, he got hungry, he got sleepy. Are you listening to me? And when he was hungry, the devil tempted him. Now stay with me here. The tempter knew where the Lord was weak. Now again, we know he's not weak in any stretch of the imagination. I'm talking in his humanity here. But the devil knew where he was weakest at this point in life. So right there's where he started. Now listen to me. The devil also knows where you're weak. And he knows where I am weak. Are you listening to me tonight? Until you admit I have a weakness, you are, listen, sir and ma'am, you'll never live in victory for Jesus Christ. If you think you have arrived, you don't need a message like this, and that you're as good as you can ever get, you're crazy. I'm telling you that every one of us have weaknesses. You say, Jody, what's your weakness? None of your business. Just like your weakness is none of mine. We're not Catholic. Somebody say amen right there. Glory to God. I'm telling you one thing here. I know this. I may not know what your weakness is, and you may not know what mine is, but I know you've got one. It's called your giant. Going back to this morning. And I'm telling you that wherever you are weak, there is where he's going to start his enticing with you. He will start very pointedly. In other words, he didn't take a temptation, just say, let me try this one. Let me just try this one. Let me just try a gentle one. No, he knew exactly what he was doing, and he pointedly, specifically, I'm talking about a very particular way he enticed the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if he's going to entice you in discouragement, worry, doubt, fear, lust. I don't know what it is, but I know this. He's going to entice you where you're weakest. His name was Oral Hershiser. He's a Hall of Fame pitcher that used to pitch for the Dodgers. Almost hard for me to even say that, you know, from this pulpit. I'm just kidding with you, Brother Gary. Brother Gary likes the Dodgers, so I had to throw that out there, you know. But he was talking about his philosophy of pitching one day, and here's what he said. He said, in pitching, there are two philosophies. He said, the first philosophy is that you study the hitter. And what you try to do is you try to make him think. It's almost like having a chess game. I don't know. I don't know anything about chess, but I know it's a slow, laborious, laboring thing, and all these kind of things. In other words, you could whip the fire out of me in that, because I don't have a clue. I mean, honestly, I don't. But he said this. He said you try to make the batter expect a certain pitch, like a fastball, and then you try to trick him and throw a curveball. But then he said, that's not the philosophy I use. He said, there's another one. And he said, here's the one I use. He said, this other philosophy is you study the batter and you find out what he's a sucker for. In other words, if he likes the high fastball, you know it as a pitcher. And he said, you give it to him, but you put it just a little bit too high for him to get it. Can I say something to you? You say, what in the world does that have to do with this message? Here's what it has to do with the message. The devil knows what pitch looks like a beach ball coming at you. And you think that you're going to knock the fire out of it. And yet when you commit to hit it, you say, uh-oh. And instead of hitting it out of the park, you pop it straight up to the catcher. Or you kill the groundhogs with it, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm saying this. The devil knows what you like. And the devil also knows what it's hard for you to get over. So he's going to throw that pitch first. For instance, somebody who's looking at things they shouldn't look at, guess what he's going to tempt you with? Television programs, the internet, Facebook. Amen. Can I say something to you? Facebook can be used for God. That's how my wife uses it. She communicates with people saying, I'm praying for you, all these kind of things. But Facebook can also be used as a tool of the devil, my friends. Let me say something to the parents. If your child, now listen to me, if your child is on Facebook and you don't monitor it, you're crazy. You are crazy. By the way, some teenagers, without the parents' knowledge, what I'm talking about is just a general thought here. I'm talking about around the nation, around the world. Some teenagers, God forbid it's in this church, but you don't know. If you don't monitor it, you don't know who they're talking to. You don't know what kind of pictures they're sending back and forth. And I'm telling you, the devil uses those things, my friend. You better be careful. Somebody says, my kid will never do that. Then you don't know your kid very well, do you? Because the last I checked my Bible, all flesh is weak. And all flesh is guilty of doing anything that the flesh is capable of doing. Don't ever be guilty of saying, my kid would never do that. You better check before you say it. Because they might be doing it as you speak. Amen now, folks. Now, I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. I love you too much not to tell you like it is. And I'm saying you need to be monitoring what your kids are doing. Amen. I'll amen myself tonight. Because there's a real devil out there and he's after your kids. And sometimes your kids are too, excuse me, they're not smart enough to know it themselves. They think, oh, I'm just having a happy thing. Oh, this is just great. And the whole time the devil is sucking the life out of them. I know what I'm talking about. You better check up. You better check up. God forbid it's happening in this church. But in a church this size, don't you think there might be one or two teenagers who think they're getting by with something? They might be here tonight. And I've got news for them. You're not getting by with anything because God knows all things. I'm telling you, his enticing is very pointed. He knows where you're weak and he's going to tempt you and tempt you and tempt you. It's pointed. But number two, it was persistent. Notice what happened when the Lord refuted him in verse number four. Notice what happened in verse number five. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Then he begins to quote scripture, but he quotes it out of context, and then the Lord refuted him again. But notice verse number 8, again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain. Here's the point I'm trying to say. The point I'm trying to say when I say his enticing was persistent, it means continuing, it means enduring, it means repeating. For instance, notice what happened when the Lord resisted the first enticement. The devil enticed again. What happened when the Lord refuted the second enticement? The devil refuted again. Excuse me. He tempted again. The point I'm trying to make here is this. The tempter kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. Sound like this morning? Morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening. He kept coming back and kept coming back. See, some people have the idea that when they win a battle that the war is over. And my friends, I'm sorry, but that's not the case. Because just like I said this morning, your battle, your war, ultimately will not end until you're at the feet of Jesus Christ. You're battling flesh. Again, 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh, that's present tense, walketh about, seeking now, presently, seeking whom he may devour. Number one, we're noticing the tempter's enticing, his tempting. His throwing you a high fastball, and he does it very pointedly. He knows about you. I'm not saying he's all-knowing, and listen, it may not be him that knows all about you, but he's got his army, if you will, and they know about you. They know where you're weak, and they're going to throw you that fastball because they know without the power of God in your life, you'll swing at it every time. His enticing was pointed. His enticing was persistent. But number two, here's my second thing. Not only his enticing, but secondly, let's notice his enemy. What is the tempter's enemy? In this passage of Scripture, the sweet Holy Spirit brings out a truth that we all need to know and put into practice. Notice in this passage, we see the enemy of the tempter is the Word of God. Every time the devil tempted the Lord, he quoted Scripture. Every time. Now, one interesting thing that the Lord showed me is brought out in verse number 1 and following. Look at verse number 1. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit. Now, what's that mean? Was the Lord being led of the Spirit here into the wilderness? Sure he was. You know what that means? You know what that means? Obviously, he was right with his Father. He was led of the Spirit. He had all the Spirit that there ever was and ever will be. So what I'm getting ready to bring out to you, are you listening to me? If you're going to do your own thing, not listen to your pastor, and say, I don't care what he says, it tastes good, I'm going to keep doing it, it looks good, I'm going to keep it feels good, I'm going to keep doing it. If that's your attitude, forget what I'm about to preach on. It's not going to help you. Because you have to at least be willing to be filled with the power of God, folks. By the way, you cannot be Spirit-filled without living in the Word of God daily. You have to be praying daily. You have to submit yourself to do whatever God wants you to do. All of those things are kind of given. So are you reading the Bible? Are you praying? Are you memorizing Scripture? Are you trying to obey the Word of God? If you are, the Holy Spirit's filling you up. But don't you tell me that that even if you're right with God, which a majority, I hope all of you are, all of us, I trust you, I hope you are, because anytime a preacher says, if you don't want to talk to, you know, listen to your preacher, typically he may be talking to one or two people in the congregation, I hope. Hope it's no more than that. A majority of folks have come here tonight saying, you know, I'm right with God. I mean, I understand I'm not perfect, but I'm sure that there are areas, you know, where I can improve on. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but at least I want to do right. And you're still battling, aren't you? You still have that old giant waking you up in the morning, getting you up at night. You still have the old battles again. You know you shouldn't be giving into it, but every now and then you do. Whether it be bitterness or anger or worry or doubt or lust, whatever it is, every now and then you're like, I'm trying to do right. How do I get victory? I mean, God knows I don't want to do this. How do you get victory? If that's you, I'm getting ready to help you out a whole lot. Because if you're full of the Holy Spirit of God by reading the Word of God and submitting to the Word of God and praying and getting on your face begging God for His power, if that's you and you're Spirit-filled, then what I'm getting ready to bring out is for you. It's for you. In other words, what I'm getting ready to bring out does not take the place of Bible reading. What I'm getting ready to bring out does not take the place of obedience to the Lord. It doesn't take the place of your prayer life. It just adds to it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. How did the devil use his enticing on the Lord? Pointed and persistent. Guess how the Lord used His Word on the tempter? Pointed and persistent. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice what happened whenever the devil tempted the Lord. Look at verse number 3. And when the tempter came to Him, He said, If thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. So what is the devil tempting the Lord with here? It's not a trick question. What is it? Food. Notice what the Lord quoted. By the way, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Here's what he said. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Notice in verses 5 and 6 that he tempts the Lord to commit suicide. The Lord quotes Scripture from Deuteronomy 6:16 and said, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Notice in verses 8 and 9 that he tempts him to fall down and worship him. But the Lord quoted again from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6 and says, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shalt thou serve. Notice how every time the devil used a specific temptation, the Lord used a verse that dealt specifically with that temptation, and He quoted it. He stuck it in him. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Now, let me go further here, because it's so important that you get this. In Ephesians chapter 6, don't turn to it for time's sake, but in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 17, you have the story of the armor of God. And it's interesting that in verse number 17, when it talks about the armor of God, you know, the helmet of salvation, all these kind of things, it comes down to verse 17 and says this, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, what does this mean? Anytime in Scripture that you see the word word, W-O-R-D, and it's in reference to the Bible. In other words, the word of God, that's in reference to the Bible. Anytime you see that in reference to the Bible, it's used in one or two ways in the original language. In other words, in the Old Testament, it was written in Hebrew. The New Testament was written in Greek. Now, that being the case, the Greek word used here for take the sword of the Spirit, that's your offensive weapon to do battle with, to stick the enemy with, which is the word of God, it's one of two words. It's either the word logos, L-O-G-O-S, which means the entire Bible, or it's the word rhema, R-H-E-M-A, which means individual portions of the Bible. You know the interesting thing about Ephesians chapter 6? It says, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God. He didn't say take the sword of the Spirit, which is the logos. In other words, here's what I'm trying to say. He used the word rhema, individual parts, individual portions. What's he trying to say? Here's what he's saying. Some people have the mistaken idea that all they got to do is take their Bible, dust it off, lay it on their coffee table. The devil will see it and run from it. That's not the way it works, folks. The Lord is saying you must take individual portions of my word. You must take individual parts of my word. You must take the sections of my word and stick him with it. And then he set the example for us right here in Matthew chapter 4. He showed us that the way you use the individual parts is you study his enticing and you know what it is that he's going to throw you away. And when he does, you take a verse, a rhema of God, and you stick it in him. Let me show you how this works. It's one thing to tell you what to do. It's another thing to show you how it works, right? Let me show you how this works. But before I do that, let me show you this. His enemy was also used not only pointedly, just like his enticing, but it was used persistently. Every time the devil tempted him, every single time he quoted Scripture. Every time. Every time. And he quoted it the same way. He quoted it in a very pointed way. The first temptation dealt with food. The first verse he quoted dealt with food. The second temptation was just temptation to kill himself. So he dealt with a verse that dealt with not tempting the Lord thy God. The third temptation was fall down and worship me and I'll give you all these things. So the Lord quoted a verse that dealt with worshiping God and God only. Don't you see that? It's interesting. I'm so glad that the Lord didn't use three things to combat the devil. Aren't you? I mean, honestly, aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad the Lord didn't use Scripture this one, then pray on this one, and then on this one he turned a cartwheel and a backflip and then said, do this? No way. You know what he's saying? He's saying it works every time. Every time it works. And I'm going to show you how this works. And I'll guarantee you something, either you will not do this and live in defeat, or you will pay the price and you will try it out and you'll see for yourself it works. It works. It works. Glory to God, it works. Here's what I'm saying to you. Let's just take, for instance, that somebody's dealing with fear. I mean, you're reading the Bible, you're having your devotions. As far as you know, your spirit filled. I mean, you're trying to do the right thing. You're trying to live in obedience to the Lord. You're praying, but you just deal with fear all the time. Oh, I just fear about that. I fear about that. Fear about this. And at times like that, learn Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Somebody deals with thought life. I mean, every now and then, listen to me now, maybe you're too good for this or something, or maybe this never happened to you. But have you ever had a bad thought go through your mind? I mean, have you ever been sitting there or driving down the road, and I mean, as far as you know, your heart's right with God, and then all of a sudden there's a thought, and it's like, where did that come from? Now, maybe that's never happened to you. But if it has, you know what that is? That's the tempter, my friends. That's him. He's tempting you. What do you do at a time like that? Somebody said you can't stop the birds from flying overhead, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. And this is what I'm talking about. You have a bad thought come across your mind. Learn Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report. Think on these things. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Men struggle with their eyesight. It's the way God created us. Men struggle with what they look at. So maybe there's a man, God forbid it, who's looking at pornography or hooked on things they shouldn't look at. But yet God gets a hold of them. And they say, I want victory in this. Now listen, if God hadn't got a hold of you, or excuse me, you hadn't let him get a hold of you, and you think you're getting by with it and you're having the time of your life, come see me in 10 years and see what you're saying then. Amen. But there may be somebody, and I say, you know, I know it's wrong. Nobody knows. Nobody in this world knows about it, but I know it's wrong, and I need victory. How do I do it? You keep reading the Bible. You keep praying. You stay on your face. You get busy for God. You ask God to fill you up, and then you learn verses like Psalm 101:3. And whenever you're tempted to look at something, you'll say, I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I'll set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And I promise you, my friends, listen to me, please. I have tried this principle out in different areas, and it works, my friends. It works. Either you will stop quoting or the devil will stop enticing you. One of the two, whichever one wants it more. Whichever one wants it more. If you want victory, you will have it. Notice I'm not saying it's easy. It's a battle. Remember? It is a battle. But this battle has already been won in the person of Jesus Christ. It's already been won in the written pages of God's Word. He's given you everything you need right here. And I'm telling you, you learn to use it as a sword and you can live in victory. Now, to help you with this, and I've already given these out a number of times, but there are many of these available. Front and back, there's a sheet out here. Hope many of you got this on your way in, but if you didn't, these are available out on the Welcome Center out there. Take them. Run them off. Plaster your bedroom. I don't care what you do with them. Just use them. It's scriptures to use against the tempter, front and back. Let me just give you some pointed areas where people get tempted. See if any of these hit you. Addictions, anger, anxiety, assurance, bitterness, coveting, children, depression, defeat, discouragement, envy, evil thoughts, God forgiving me, me forgiving others, gossip, excuse me, I'm getting caught on that one, gossip, guilt, the husband's relationship to wife, wife's relationship to husband, children's relationship to parents, parents' relationship to children, impatience, impurity, laziness, lost, lonely, and hurt, lust, lying, pride, trusting God, the television, the temptation, the wicked tongue, and worldly music. It is not exhaustive, which means you can add to it, but I guarantee I hit every one of you somewhere. I guarantee I hit you. I hit myself. Which one was it? None of your business, but I hit myself. You know what? You know what's underneath every one of these topics? Scripture references that deal with that topic. So you know how to use it? You go home, you start to memorize these things. If you're struggling with bitterness, then take these verses and begin to memorize them. And while you're memorizing them, why don't you type them out, save them, and then fold them up. And ladies, put them in your toolbox, better known as your pocketbook. And men, fold them up and put them in your billfold. That was a joke, by the way. And then whenever you get tempted, you get tempted with that, take the sheet out and begin to meditate upon it and read through those scriptures. You know what will happen? The devil won't stay close to you, my friends. He can't take it. It's the sword. And you're sticking the fire out of him when you do that. So I hope you'll take this sheet and use it. Somebody says, I don't need that sheet. I don't need that sheet. He's crazy anyway. I'm having the time of my life. Be sure your sin will find you out. The pleasure center for a season. I'm telling you, don't think you know more than God because you don't, my friend. Do you want victory? You can have it. Number one, his enticing. Number two, his enemy. But number three, I like this, his exit. Notice what happened whenever the Lord fought him off with the word of God. Verse number 11, then the devil leaveth him. And behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Now after a long, pointed, and persistent attack by the tempter, And after our Lord resisted him, the Bible says in verse 11, the devil leaveth him. Glorious day. Now, however, there are two things I want you to notice about this exit. First of all, under this, it was tentative. That means it was conditional. In other words, the devil didn't leave because he just didn't have anything better to do, folks. He was trying to get the Lord to fall. He couldn't spend his time any better for his own purpose. But you know why he left? The Lord met the conditions to force him to leave. He was being stuck by a Spirit-filled Savior using his word as a sword. You ever heard this verse? Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Have you ever heard that verse? Would you raise your hand? Yes. But you know what a lot of preachers do? They skip the first part of that verse. That same verse, James 4, 7, says this. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you try to resist without the submitting, you're putting the cart before the horse, and you will never get victory. If you're submitting, then you're in the position to resist. This morning was submitting to God. You have a battle, I'm talking about in the valley of Elah. You have a giant in the valley. And what I'm saying is, do you recognize you have to submit to God? That was this morning. Tonight is how you resist the devil. You resist him by being Spirit-filled and using the Word of God pointedly and persistently. Secondly, it was not only tentative, but number two, in Luke chapter 14, same story. Here's what it said. Don't turn to it. It says this, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So the second thing about his exit, not only tentative, it was temporary. What I mean by that is this, he came back again. If the Bible says he left him for a season, what's that mean? That means that season came to an end and he came back again. Again, I'm just trying to emphasize some things I've already emphasized here. 1 Corinthians 10, 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. If you are living in victory tonight, watch out. Because he's still alive. Right now, he's still doing well. He's not going to be for eternity, glory to God. But right now, he's loose. He's coming after you. And he's not going to roll over and play dead, my friends. But what happened to give you victory a month ago is still going to happen the same way today and tonight if you're going to have victory tonight. It must be using the Word of God. Now, if you're a victorious Christian a month from today, let's go a week from today. Let's go a day from today, or let's go a year or 10 years from today. If you are a victorious Christian, it all depends on what you do with the tempter. If you do not learn to do what I've preached tonight, you'll be what I call a Christian casualty. You're a Christian, praise God, if you're saved now, but you'll be a Christian casualty. He'll destroy your influence, wreck your life, and take you down. But if you learn these principles, that your memorizing and quoting Scripture does not take the place of your Bible reading and being Spirit-filled, but you're striving to be Spirit-filled with your prayer life, your Bible reading, you're submitting to the Lord. Whatever He wants you to do, you're going to do it. And as you live in that way, then on top of that, you begin to resist the devil by using the Word of God very specifically. If you learn to do that, I promise you, you'll be victorious. You have the Word of God to take to the bank on that. The question is do you want it? So I ask you this question as we come to a close. Who's winning your battle? Oh, you say, my giant is. And this morning I recognized I can't do it. Tonight I'm asking you to go a step further. You recognize you can't do it? Great. You want victory? Great. How do you get it? You take your shoe off, identifying that you can't, but he can. You'll see that in the book of Ruth when we get to it in chapter 4. But the fact of the matter is this, you say, God, keep me in your word. Help me to be Spirit-filled. Help me to be led of the Spirit of God. And then show me the verses I need to memorize. Show me the topics where he's tempting me. And give me strength every time he throws out his enticing. Give me strength to consciously stop and stick him with your word. And I promise that you'll live in victory. You know what my burden is as your pastor? Man, I still can't get over that. I'm your pastor. It breaks my heart. What a privilege. What an honor to have you dear people in this church. God's put a love in my heart. I can't explain it for you. God's put a love in my wife's heart that she can't explain to you. We love you dearly. This pastoral staff loves you dearly. We love you folks. And I don't want the devil to get any of you. Look at me, please. All over the congregation, eyeball to eyeball, please. Please. There's a real devil who's trying to take you down. But there's a God in heaven who has given you the spirit and the sword to make him run. Will you battle him? Will you not give in? Will you keep going? Don't become a Christian casualty. Be a Christian victor. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you tonight. Help us to understand that we have a giant. There is the tempter who is alive and walking about, seeking whom he may devour. God, help us to do business. Your heads are bound, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Do you know you're saved? Do you know you are a Christian? Do you know you're born again? Or have you been playing a game? Oh, how awful it would be to sit in a church like Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and hear the truth of God's word and die without Christ and go to a devil's hell. Oh, don't let that happen to you. Don't let that happen to you. Have you say, Jody, I'm glad I know I'm saved. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know so. I'm a Christian. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? You know you're saved. You know you're born again. Yes. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Is there one tonight say, Jody, that's not me. I don't know that. Oh, what a night to get it right with Jesus. Is there one tonight say, Jody, pray for me. I need to be saved. I can't win this battle because I'm not even a Christian. You say, pray for me. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? I need to be saved. I need to ask Jesus to come to my heart. And let me ask you this question. You say, Jody, I'm a Christian. And this morning you talked about our giant. But tonight you're talking about how to resist the devil using our giant in our life. Here's what I'm asking you. Have you been living what I preach tonight? If you have not been living what I preach, what I'm talking about is, as best you know how, your spirit filled. I mean, you're not saying that you're perfect, but the best you know how, your spirit filled. You're reading the Bible. You're praying. You're seeking God. You're asking to fill your heart and fill you with His blessed power. But on top of that, you've not stopped there. You have been using the Word of God, just like I said tonight. Now, please don't lie to the Lord. And you say, Jody, I've been living what you preach. Now I know I've preached this before, so I hope some of you can say this at least. But you say, I've been living what you preach, and I can testify to the fact that it really does work. I'm not perfect, but it does work. If you can say that, would you raise your hand? You say, I've been living it. God bless you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Probably a majority of you could not say that. Would you be honest enough right now to say, Jody, I couldn't raise my hand saying that I've been living that? And listen, that's not to fault you. It might be that you've never thought about these things before. But you say, Jody, I could not raise my hand to that question. That's a majority of you. If you say, I could not, I think it's a majority. You say, I could not raise my hand to that. There, I am not living by that. Whether it's reading the Bible or being spirit-filled, or maybe you're right with God, but you've not been using the Word of God like this. And you say, Jody, pray for me. If this works, and it's not an if, it really does, you say, God is showing me I need to start this. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, Jody, this is me. I'm not doing it, but I know I need to start. Now, if you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it and look at me just a minute. Would you do that? Again, I remind you, whenever I have you look at me, that means a lot of people are responding to it. So you're not by yourself. I'm telling you that what I'm preaching to you tonight, I'm living it. And it works. Now, again, you understand, I'm not saying you quote Scripture and stop reading your Bible and it's going to be okay. That's not what I said. You got to be Spirit-filled for this to even take effect. You understand? But on top of it, you take this sheet, you begin to use it, and you ask God to show you other things that's not on the sheet, and you begin to use it this way, I promise you, you'll live in victory. It's going to happen. But you have to work at it. You have to work at it. Because remember, he kept his enticing up. He kept coming back and kept coming back and kept coming back. So every time you just keep doing the same thing, doing the same. You say, he knocked me down. Get up and do the same thing again. Refuse to give in. Finish strong. Go across the finish line full speed ahead. Not over on the sidelines soaking an injury where a dart got you. You understand, don't you? I'm going to have every one of you come and ask God to help you start tonight. Start tonight. Hope every one of you will leave your place and come. Let's all stand together, please. Father, help us. Help us, Lord God, to put this in practice. Thy will be done in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. Who'll step out and come and say, I need to start this. This is what I need. As he sings, come on, here we go.
Yield come not on. To temptation.
Say, this is what I need. I need this. I need to start this. I need to keep it up. Come on. Teenager, come on. Widow who's dealing with the loss of a loved one, come on. Husband, wife, mom, dad, come on. Talk to God about it. Talk to God about it.
Ask the Savior to help you. Comfort, strengthen, and keep you. He is willing to aid you. He will carry you through.
We're playing through softly. God is dealing. God is working. God is moving. There's time for you. If you're still standing, I'd like you to look this way just a moment. God has a great plan for your life, and he has a great plan for this church. But the devil doesn't like it. So he's going to try to get in. You know how he gets in? One member. One member opening his heart and saying, I'll give in. I'm throwing the towel. That's the way it works. And I trust that this message is helping you. You say, Jody, what do I do now? Make sure you got one of these sheets. How many of y'all already have it? Would you kind of wave it at me a little bit there if you wouldn't mind to do that? And if you do not have this sheet, would you raise your hand? You do not have this sheet. You don't have it. These are available out on the Welcome Center, okay? The Welcome Center is right out in the middle out there against this back wall. They're available. Take it. Take them. Copy them off. Plaster places with them. Don't put it on your windshield now and look at it while you're driving, but use this as a tool. May the Lord help you. Amen. God bless you. The Lord's met with us tonight. I hope you can tell that. He's been here, and it works. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Gary if he wouldn't mind to come right here, and he's going to lead us in our closing prayer. Please be much in prayer for preacher. He's got to be there at 5 o'clock in the morning. Is that right? 5 o'clock? 5 o'clock? Yes. Pray for Brother Gary. My wife and I and our family are going out of town tonight, getting away for a little while. You all are wearing us out. I'm just kidding with you, all right? Pray for Brother Gary. Brother Gary said, I timed this on purpose, you know, because he's got to get up there at 5 o'clock in the morning and all that. Be much in prayer for our preacher. Amen. Wouldn't you love to see this work? And I mean, he's strong. He's probably healthier than I am. And he keeps going. Be great to have him up here when he's 79, when he turns 80, turns 81, 82, 83, 84, 85. Just keep on bringing him in here. You say you love him, don't you? You better believe it. I hope you feel the same way about it. Amen. Brother Gary, you come and dismiss us in prayer, sir. God bless you. Have a great week, folks.
Lord, we do thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it is powerful and that it can bring victory in our Christian lives. And Lord, we've heard the truth. We know the truth. Help us now to apply it and to practice it in our lives, that we might live in victory, that you'd be glorified by our lives. We do pray for Preacher Lashley, Lord, as he has his surgery in the morning, that you would bless and that the knee replacement would go well and that he would heal quickly and be back with us again soon. Pray for Glenda. She has surgery also. We pray you'd bless and work there. And Lord, again, ask you to help us this week as we enter into the battlefield and fight the devil hand to hand. God, give us wisdom and discernment and strength, and give us victory, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.